Please be seated. Whoever is collecting the sayings for the St. Luke's t-shirt, who has let the wild ass go free might be one that we could use. Thank you, Jane Long, for reading that with a straight face. A scale of one. On this World Communion Sunday, celebrated throughout the Protestant churches, and tomorrow, on the one-year anniversary of the attack and now war on Israel, in the occupied territories, and now in Lebanon, the ongoing war in Ukraine after the invasion by Russia, famine in Congo and Sudan, unrest and generational struggle in so many societies, and about 30 days before the presidential election, we celebrate the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi today. We remember that God, our Creator, measures this creation at the scale of one. One life, one animal, one flower. Dr. Beth Corey was with our youth last Sunday afternoon for a conversation about their commitments, what they feel passionately about in this world, and what they want to do about it. The paradox of social justice is that ideas about people and groups of people or legislation that impact groups of people, especially when that's unfair, that scale, right, we have to agree to be convinced by data or logic that what people say is happening to groups of people is happening. And depending upon your experience and how you understand the world, you might or might not care or think it has to do with you. But the impact of such things is always on bodies, on a body, a person, many persons. And the power of the ideas behind how things work in the world, the big ideas in our time, in the end, impact just one of us and impact our capacity to remember or to see the humanity of the person one-on-one. You can see that in Israel and Gaza and in the West Bank and in Lebanon today. Right? That horrible list that we can generate so easily of suffering in the world. What if it is one, like us, on all sides? Which deaths, which poverty can we see, if any, as horrifying to us? So St. Francis lived in a time like this. The kings and emperors of Europe went to war in Jerusalem and had been for hundreds of years before he was born, taking the men of the villages and cities of Europe to Jerusalem to fight the infidels. At that time, those were Muslim emperors or sultans who held Jerusalem, and to persecute Jews because they were not Christians. These were also called the Crusades, beginning in 1095. So Francis is from the late 1100s, early 1200s. He was a soldier and the child of a successful businessman in those very bleak times. Regular life happened in those bleak times. Francis had a radical conversion of life in an encounter with a naked man begging for food. Francis said and understood himself to be called to rebuild the church in simplicity and service. Today, the Pope himself is called Francis, and that is with intention. So the church remembers Francis of Assisi on October 4th. Francis lived in the late 1100s and early 1200s, a time of reorganization in Europe, the bleakest part of the Middle Ages for the average person. Along with Catherine of Siena, Francis is the patron of Italy. Francis is also the patron of animals and ecology, and I think also archaeology, among other amazing things. But we remember him today for his lifelong journey to love Jesus and to restore the church, to make himself the humblest version of himself that he could be, and to build a community of friends to reform the church. And that's what he thought he was doing, reforming the church, to love people, animals, and the earth at a scale of one to one. Now, Francis starts out his life as a pretty sophisticated person for those times. He would have inherited some wealth, and he would have traveled for military service in the time of the Crusades. And then, like now, and probably like you, he was humbled by the vast difference between his life as a wealthy young man and the hungry and the unhoused. He was struck by the contrast of the commitment to war by the church, war with infidels, and the Christian commitment to peace. In a time of clear right and wrong in the eyes of many, he sought out and discovered a different way. There is a story, and it's told in many different ways, that Francis meets or attempts to meet the Sultan of Egypt. The Crusades again rage from 1095 to 1291, so he's alive not at the end of them, but when he dies, they go on for quite a while. But, you know, almost 300 years of European Christian kings and emperors trying to conquer and control Jerusalem, and Egypt is in the way. So by the time of the Fifth Crusade, which is when he lives, war and loss must have felt interminable. Can you imagine in 1190-something or 1200, thinking about a war that had started in 1095? It feels like these times in many ways. And by the time of Francis, a war chosen for what must have felt like a lost cause, maybe important in theory and for power to a prince or a duke, but simply a death sentence for most common people. Wars of empire, of Christian armies of Europe, fighting Muslims and persecuting Jews. It would have framed Francis's entire life. Francis leaves the life of a soldier and leaves his own wealth behind to seek out a way to be a faithful follower of Jesus in these kinds of times. He founds a religious order of people who live simply, not engaging in the endless wars or the economies of the wars of their time. Francis also feels compelled to become a peacemaker like Jesus, and so he decided that the way he should do that is to go and convert the Muslims. You know how that turns out, right? So he fearlessly, it says, walks across battlefields and battle lines, right? Some say right through a field of battle, and asks to meet the Sultan of Egypt at the time, the leader of their enemies. He is offered hospitality, it is said, and a warm reception, and just lives there for a while. It's just in Egypt. And as someone who wrote, he recorded a lot of things, he doesn't say much. He doesn't say much about this time. We don't know what happened. But we do know that he is moved by the Sultan's hospitality and the faithfulness of Muslims in some way who he had not known before. And the reason we know this, the only way we know this, is because he writes in the order for the Franciscans, it says that you can go and live in peace among Muslims. Now that might not sound like much today because we live in peace among Muslims. The Muslims are our neighbors. But at the time, what a radical thing for him to have discerned. And it's, I think, one of the most interesting things about him. Francis knew a loving and merciful God and was open-hearted to experiencing the movement of God in his time and transformed the future of Christianity, unknown to him at the time, because of that openness in him. Francis knew a loving and merciful God made human in a humble man named Jesus. Some scholars write that Francis's depictions of God in his writings sound similar to the 99 names of God, a beautiful tradition in Islam that he must have encountered in his time in Egypt, names which include the merciful, the just, the compassionate, the source of all peace, at the scale of one, to change the world. Today we remember Francis and remember that some among us have always resisted war and polarization. It is a fine Christian tradition. Some among us have left everything to follow Jesus. Some have been so faithful as to be transformed by encounters with enemies and even sought them out. God has always worked among us, and especially today we remember those things that keep us human and humble and grateful, especially our animal companions, as we did at 9, who teach for us how to love and care for another being, who love us easily like God does, whom we love with abandon as love should be. And so let us remember today Francis, a border crosser, an enemy listener, a God language seeker, lover of pigs and dogs, a giver away of things, a seeker of peace, one who laid down a sword in a time of holy war, a free one, marking for us a path to freedom at the scale of one.